Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the midst of a series of studies on the book of Jeremiah, some amazing lessons for our lives today. Today about sacrifice, Jeremiah's yoke, but there's some lessons that will bless us and will help us to be the women of God, the men of God that God's calling us to be today. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School. And welcome to our team. Good to be together again. Yeah. Isn't this series amazing on Jeremiah? I have to admit, when I first started studying, I thought, oh no, more apostasy, more weeping. But there are some powerful lessons for us. And I'm just glad that you can be part of our discussion today. And we're glad you're with us too. By the way, if you've missed anything in this series on Jeremiah, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series on Jeremiah, including our study today will be archived there. I know that you'll be blessed. We'd like to say thank you for writing to us. It's wonderful to know we're part of a global Hope Sabbath School family. We've got more than 100,000 followers on Facebook. We've got 150,000 we know of watching us on YouTube. We've got more than 1 million participants around the world. You are part of a miracle of God. And when you write to us at sshope, hopetv.org, we share that with the whole media team, not just the participants, because we are encouraged and we pray for you. So thanks for writing. Caroline from South Africa, studying in India. So we've got an international group. She says, I can never stop praising God for Hope Sabbath School. Being far away from home, it's not been easy at all, but thank you for always being there. Amen?
Amen.
So she's studying in India. Always, I like to listen to the studies. I sing along with the songs. We are blessed to have you. We're always revived. You make the Bible study easy to understand. May God richly bless you, every one of you, Caroline. Well, Caroline, thanks for writing. A South African studying in India. And we're glad you sing with us. We're going to sing a song in just a few moments. Joseph writes from the United Arab Emirates and says, I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for a couple of years now, but I've never written before. I want to thank you for serving the Lord. Every week, I watch Hope Sabbath School and prepare for a Bible study in my local church. I was born and raised in a Protestant family in India. Praise be to God, He has led me to His end time remnant church.
Amen.
We're glad, Joseph, that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family, and may God bless you to be an amazing witness for Him where you are. Here's one from Wedzerai in Zimbabwe. Anybody been to Zimbabwe? Simiso, is that your home?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you wave to Wedzerai?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. We got you on camera. I'm not sure if I'm saying the name right. Wedzerai. Wedzerai. I thoroughly enjoyed Hope Sabbath School. I have also been encouraged by the emails from the far corners of the globe. The diverse nature of the participants, with almost all continents represented, is so inspirational, showing off the oneness of the global Hope Sabbath School family. Well, I'm just going to ask the camera people to take a scan, if you will, of the team right here, because right here is the world, right? We've got Kenya represented. We've got
Kenya.
Two Kenya represented. We've got Zimbabwe represented. We've got anybody here from North America? We've got North America represented.
Caribbean
represented.
South America.
South America from Guyana.
Central.
And
Central America.
And I was born on the small island of England. So, you know, we represent the whole world. And here's Wedzerai in Zimbabwe saying, great to see you looking like the whole world. Continue the good work unhindered and God bless you. Well, Wedzerai, I don't know if I said your name right, but I'm glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family there. Do you know we have tens of thousands of Hope Sabbath School members in Zimbabwe? In fact, God is doing many wonderful works in your country, and I'm glad you're part of that miracle. Calvin writes to us and says, I was watching in the program archives. So that means that he went to hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can go to our website and you go to the archives, not only this series on Jeremiah, but all different topics. So take a note of that web address. And he was watching. He said, I attended church on Sunday all my life And that, upon reflection, was a tradition. Then, being revealed to me that Saturday is the Sabbath, my whole life changed. I began to understand more through the wonderful blessing of spending 24 hours with the Lord. It gave me such peace and joy. I not only feel on the Sabbath, but all week.
Amen.
Is that precious?
Yes.
I embrace the relationship with Jesus, yes, rather than listening in church for an hour or so and then going home. I never really truly received that blessing that God has given, that rest in Him, until I learned about Sabbath. Thank you. God bless you all. Well, I just want to say God bless you. Calvin, that's an amazing testimony. And our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, really ought to go there. You could learn many more lessons. One last note from Sikuka in Zambia. Nobody from Zambia here, though, from the great continent of Africa. Sikuka writes and says, "Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord."
Amen.
Hello.
"I believe you are all basking in good health. I learned Hope Sabbath School through Facebook 2 weeks ago."
Amen.
So we got more than 100,000 likes on Facebook. If you're a Facebook fan, by the way, go to Hope Sabbath School, click that like, and we all smile because we're glad you're part of our family. How amazingly beneficial, Sikuku writes, how amazingly beneficial social media can be. I used to find it hard to comprehend the Bible study lessons, but now I enjoy them more than ever before. Every week I download the video through the link provided on the Facebook page.
Amen.
Is that awesome? From the Facebook posting, and watch the discussion on a convenient day. It's really inspiring. Please continue, even in quarters to come. I guess that's future studies. God bless you and the amazing Hope Sabbath School team. Well, Sikuka, thank you for writing to us. His name is actually Sikuka. So I guess you can say it twice. And you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And, you know, we have many wonderful Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. And maybe you're singing the song with us right now. We learn a song for this series from Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. Why don't you sing it with us?
"For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will see and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, I will be found by you, I will be found by you, says the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, I will be found by you, I will be found by you, says the Lord."
You know, sometimes people ask us, why do you sing it through twice? And the answer is, we want that word to stick in our minds, right? And what's amazing is maybe someday you're having a tough day and you go, what sense is there to life? And the Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance, you know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So let's pray that that miracle can happen even today as we study Jeremiah, his yoke, his sacrifice, and yet God is at work even in the midst of that. And he is even today, isn't he? So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for guiding in our study today this ancient book, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, with lessons for our lives today. May your Holy Spirit bless in our sharing and in our learning, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You know, it's not easy to be a servant of God, whether you're called to be a full-time prophet or whether you're just involved in ministry in your circle of influence. There's sacrifice involved. And we're going to look at the sacrifice that God asked Jeremiah to make. And we'll start in Jeremiah chapter 16. Oh, there were maybe some other sacrifices too. But Jamie, would you start our study today in Jeremiah 16, verses 1 and 2? Maybe you're not aware of this sacrifice that Jeremiah was asked to make.
The New Living Translation says, "The Lord gave me another message. He said, 'Do not get married or have children in this place, for this is what the Lord says about the children born here in the city and about their mothers and fathers.'"
So what do you think about that? Are you willing to serve me? Yes, Lord, count me in. Oh, by the way, you're going to have to be single for the rest of your life. Wow. What do you think about that? Sacrifice?
Yes.
Trisha Lee, yes, right? Well, certainly, unless you have the gift of being single, right?
Yeah.
Some people have that gift. But that's challenging. Reminds me of another one. Aura, could you go over to Hosea for us? Hosea chapter 1. Do you remember what sacrifice Hosea had to make? It was not exactly the same, was it? Hosea was also a prophet.
He got a life.
He did, yes. He got a little more than he bargained for. Hosea chapter 1.
Yes.
Look at verses 1 through 3 for us. Aura.
Reading from the New King James Version. "The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, 'Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord.' So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son."
Now, God never does anything just kind of randomly, right? There's purpose to what God does. And we know from the song that his plan is good, right?
That's right.
He's got a good plan for us. So what's the significance, do you think, of saying to the young prophet Jeremiah, remember, he was young when he was called, right? Because he said, "I'm just a youth." And the Lord said, "Don't say I'm just a youth. I'm going to give you words," right? Why do you think, Samiso, he said, "I don't want you to get married"? What might have been, is that symbolic of something? Was there a purpose to that? What do you think?
I believe there was a purpose. When you read the rest of the verses, it kind of gives the context of what's going to take place in the event that you have kids in that environment, so to speak.
So even the fact that he's not saying, "Settle down, have a family," which is not evil, right? Mm-hmm. Have a nice collection of children. The fact that he's not allowed to do that is sending a message to the people about how difficult the times will be.
Let me add to what you just said. It was such corruption in the land, such turmoil, it's such a period, very difficult to raise children and guide your family, that he's saying, "I don't want you bringing children and a family into this environment, because it's pretty toxic. Things are going to get very calamitous, and even you, they're opposing you, and to get to you, they might try to hurt your family."
We know he's going to be thrown into prison and all these things. Okay, Tricia Lee?
It reminds me of what the angel said to Mary, that a sword will pierce through your own heart as well. So letting her know that sorrow would come from this child.
Yes. Mm.
I think that even the Lord knew that having children and going through the trials that would come, them being gruesome deaths that would possibly happen in that area, would be a challenge to even Jeremiah himself.
So later, when Jeremiah is sinking in the mud in that dungeon, he's not having to worry about
what are they doing to my spouse,
exactly. Who's going to care for my children.
That's right.
Though we're not studying about Hosea, what was the significance of asking him to marry a wayward woman, Tyler?
It was allegorical.
It was to show like an example of what God was dealing with the children of Israel.
Being wayward in their spiritual life. So so this yoke, this burden, if you will, that Jeremiah is bearing is not just a random punishment. Oh, you can't get married. No, it's teaching something, and the setting is part of the reason for that. Can you think of other men and women of God who had a sacrifice, Marcus, for saying, God, I'm your person here. Show me what you want me to do.
I think a great person that had a huge, tremendous sacrifice was Abraham. And because Isaac was promised to Abraham and Sarah so late in their lives, and God had said, you know, I will make you a father of many nations, then to ask Abraham to go and sacrifice that only son that he had was a huge, huge, tremendous burden on his heart, because he was trusting in God, but at the same time, he loved his son and knew that he might lose his son because of what the Lord had asked.
And what was actually the message in that story? Because God doesn't do anything randomly, right? What was the message there? It was not about God wanting child sacrifice, right? Because that's forbidden in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what was the lesson there for Abraham?
He was preparing a message that Jesus would be, or that God would be giving his own son.
Jehovah Jireh, right?
Yes.
The Lord will provide. But I want you to trust your son into my care, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have sacrifice. Anybody else could think of someone?
I think of Moses.
Okay.
I think of Moses because he was living in Pharaoh's household. I can imagine he had the wealth of the world at his disposal, at his fingertips.
Sure.
And he gave that up to share in the same burdens of the people of God and to follow what God wanted. He gave up a lot. We don't know all the riches he might have had or the education, but he gave all that up, the worldly pleasures and sin for a season, and decided to serve God and lead his people.
Yes.
So Jeremiah certainly would have to say, I'm not the only one that God's asked to make a sacrifice, Nathan.
And later I think of Paul, who was a rising star. He had a great future.
Saul of Tarsus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And later he would say to the Philippians, anything I might have had, I consider it garbage.
Right.
To know Christ.
Right, you
know,
rubbish.
So,
huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Mary and the sword, but she also, in being willing to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, I mean, what kind of yoke was that?
Mm-hmm.
You say it's a great privilege, right? Yeah. But you imagine what people in town were saying, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just want us to begin with this awareness that following God, being a woman of God, man of God, whether a prophet or in our lives as followers of Jesus today, may involve some sacrifice. Let's look in Matthew 16, verse 24, and then I have a really important question to ask. Eric, do you have that text for us?
I do.
In Matthew 16 and verse 24.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Great text. What does it mean? Are we all going to have to go to the cross and be crucified? Answer?
No.
So what does it mean? And notice it didn't say take up my cross, but what?
Your cross or his cross.
What does it mean? Ulrich?
Your sacrifice. Maybe you mean you may not be crucified like me, but your own self-interest will have to be given up for my sake, for my cause.
Oh, I like that, because Jesus, what the Father asked him to do was the cross, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was his cross. Mm-hmm. And he said, not my will,
but thine.
Thy will.
So you're saying that to take up my cross means God's will, not my will?
That's right.
Nathan?
I think it's important to note that it doesn't mean the trials and challenges that you'll have in your life.
Right.
Sometimes people speak of carrying a cross because of their health challenges or whatever, that's my cross to bear. That's not what it means. In the context, when you took up a cross in Jesus' day, that meant you were going to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says take up your cross, he means be willing to die for, as Paul said, I die daily.
Mm-hmm.
So as Ulrich said, you're willing to give up your self-interest. You're willing to say, Lord, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't refer to the trials or the burdens or the challenges we carry in life as the cross. That's not what he was saying.
Right. Paul speaks about a thorn that he had to deal with. This is actually the will of God for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? The will of God, but not my will. His be done.
I like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die.
Mm. Yeah. And so we're willing to die, though we may not have to. We live for him either way. Right. Well, let's keep going on with Jeremiah, because we get to this story of a yoke in Jeremiah 27. And Tyler, perhaps you could read that for us, starting in verse 1 through verse 3. And while he's reading it, I want you to ask the question, what does this mean? What's the symbolism here?
The NLT says, this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke and fasten it on your neck with leather straps. Then send messages to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon through their ambassadors who have come to see King Zedekiah in Jerusalem.
Hmm. Now, the interesting thing is the message is not just for Jeremiah. When you imagine a yoke, you know what a yoke is, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's for joining two animals together. Right. The symbol is one of what?
Bondage,
labor,
burden, slavery.
It meant political servitude in the Bible.
Yeah. It can mean that you've forced labor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
This is not the same as take my yoke upon you and learn from me, like Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is a yoke of bondage. Mm-hmm. What do you think it meant to these other kings that this message was sent about a yoke? Mm-hmm. Anybody? What was the significance of that?
It was meant to them to mean that the king of Babylon, whom you heard of as coming through and conquering lands, you will eventually be in servitude to this king and that empire, your territory.
So, Ulrich, I think you're right on. This is a pretty unpopular message.
Yes, it is.
It's like, by the way, I'm going to tell you, this is what's going to happen, not only to us, but to you. What gives a person courage to share an unpopular message? You know, if you said, go and tell people that Jesus loves you, you go, okay, that sounds really good. But go and tell them they need to leave that unhealthy relationship or stop embezzling things from work. That's a little more difficult. What gave Jeremiah the courage to share not only an encouraging message, but one that was unpopular? What do you think, Missy?
He would have had to have been filled with God's Spirit. He would have had to have spent time in His presence to gather the strength he needed to bring such a message.
Can we go back to Jeremiah chapter 1? Because I think he remembered what the Lord had told him when he called him. Remember, he was just a young man? Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And Missy, maybe you could read that. I see that you're almost there. Jeremiah 1, 7 and 8. I think you're right. What word of the Lord came to his remembrance as he's asked to share this unpopular message?
New King James Version says, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Don't be afraid of their faces.
Right.
Now, Jeremiah's, what time frame are we? Where are we in terms of...
600 B.C.
Yeah, about 600 B.C., mm-hmm. Okay. So think of some scriptures. I'm going to challenge you now, okay? Think of some scriptures already in existence. So don't quote to me from some of the later prophets, and don't quote to me from the New Testament yet. I'm going to ask you that later. But what other promises, besides the one which he'd been given directly from the Lord, I'll be with you, do you think might have encouraged him? Ulrich, he's going to give an unpopular message here.
I remember Isaiah prophesying, quoted in Isaiah 43, right at the beginning. It says, you know, when you go through the rivers, I'm with you.
Would you turn to that with us? Now, that's, what, 150 years earlier?
Before Jeremiah.
Before, right. Okay. So he would have known this word from the Lord. And you're in Jeremiah chapter 43.
Yes.
And maybe what you'll look, verses 1 to 3? 1 to 3?
Yes.
All right. Give us a moment to find that. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. Amazing promise.
Yes, it is. Reading from the New King James Version. But now thus said the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place.
Now, there is a promise in the New Testament. Thank you for sharing a beautiful promise. That where Jesus said, the help of the Holy Spirit will bring my words to your remembrance, right?
That's right.
So I have no doubt this young prophet Jeremiah, the Spirit was helping him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a prophet Isaiah. Anybody else? Can you think of a scripture that was already in existence? Jamie?
I think of Deuteronomy 31:6.
Okay.
And
my wife loves to sing that song, yeah. And I've learned to sing it too. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 6 and
Deuteronomy.
Yeah. 31. Yeah. 31 and verse 6. And let's see how that reads in your Bible.
The New Living Translation says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you."
Amen. Awesome.
Awesome.
You know, we were talking earlier, who talked about Moses and his sacrifice? Who was it? Was it you, Tricia Lee? Mm-hmm. But he had also learned to depend on the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So now he's passing on that confidence. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was written, what, 800 years before,
right.
And yet that scripture was available to Jeremiah, all right?
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid.
Yes.
These are precious promises. Anyone else have one? Yes, Simiso.
Well, in Joshua 1, verse 6 and 7.
All right, mm-hmm. Let's take a look there. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was the leader appointed after Moses, right?
Yeah.
You want to read verses 6 and 7?
Yes, the same promise is given. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go."
Amen.
And who's speaking here? Is this not the Lord? This is the Lord, because this is after the death of Moses, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, do you remember what I said to you through the prophet Moses?
That's right.
I'm going to tell you again, right? Be strong and of good courage. So Jeremiah is delivering an unpopular message. Now, some of you are like, oh, I wanted to give you a promise from the New Testament. Well, we're blessed to live in at the time after Christ came, right? So after the Gospels that talk about the teachings of Jesus, after the New Testament apostles that wrote the different letters and epistles, there are other promises. Marcus, do you have one that comes to your mind? I saw you. Anybody? Have a promise in the New Testament that you say, wow, that really encourages me. Jeremiah, he's got a challenge. He's got a difficult message.
Matthew 28, and that's Jesus' charge for them to
right?
go
verse
out
to 20,
the
maybe?
Yes, verse 20.
All right, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Right after the commission to go to all the world, how does that read in your Bible, Matthew 28 and verse 20?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version, and I'll start at verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So that's way beyond the time of Jeremiah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. Now, we've been talking in this series. It's nice to know that Jeremiah had promises to encourage him. And I like the one, Missy, that you had right from the Lord to him when he was a young man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be with you, right? Yes. But we have these precious promises that can encourage us too.
Yes.
How do we know that Jeremiah really believed those and claimed them? Well, let's go back to Jeremiah, and I think we'll find a beautiful promise. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. And Stephanie, you're smiling. You must know this promise. Would you read it for us?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you.
Amen.
So, did he really believe that, or was he just speaking as a prophet? What do you think, Sumisa?
He believed it.
He believed it. Why did he believe it? Because I want to talk to you now about how do we come to the place where we really trust God, and even in the difficult times. How did he come to really believe there's nothing too hard for you?
This is what happens when you enter into that deep and close relationship with God. You find that when you have a closer relationship with a person, you tend to trust them more. And because he was called by God, and this sacredness upon his life, and that relationship with God that he had, he trusted in those words supremely.
Uh-huh. We're going to talk about the process of how that happens. Tricia Lee?
I think it's powerful when we can recognize God's leading all through our lives.
Yes.
I think if you were to come and ask me a question about my parents, I could either say, yes, that's so true because that's how they are, or I'd say, no, that's not like them. They would never do that. And I believe that through this relationship, Oral described that he had evidence after evidence, testimony after testimony of how God delivered him from his enemies, how God protected him to deliver the message, and how I'm sure he just saw God moving in his life, and he realized everything that's impossible for me to do, God's done it. And I think he made those words out of his own personal living testimony. And I think if we all acknowledge what God does in our lives and look back, we can build our own testimonies and look forward knowing that what God did for me last year or many years ago, he can do for me today and tomorrow. And he'll keep doing that for me.
Awesome. 400 years before the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through the psalmist in Psalm 34 and verse 8. You know that text, Psalm 34 and verse 8, Jamie? You have that, that in your Bible. It's a beautiful promise, but it's also an invitation. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. The Ulrich alluded to it just a little bit, and Tricia Lee as well.
The New Living Translation says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him."
So if someone comes to you and says, Stephanie, I just really wanted to have this like incredibly strong faith in God so that even when I have to deliver an unpopular message or maybe I'm thrown into a dungeon like Jeremiah is, that I will not waver. How do I develop that kind of trust and confidence? What would you say?
I think it comes back to what Tricia Lee is saying. It's that experiential knowledge with God.
So
when we go through our smaller trials, when it's not popular what we're doing in one small area, and God brings us through that, then the next time we remember that experience and say, my God can get me through this as well.
Anybody want to build on that? Sumiso?
I think it's also about, in addition to that, and I agree with that, it's your personal experience. It reminds me of, I believe it's Jeremiah again in the book of Lamentations 3, verse 21.
Oh, I want you to read that because I love that verse.
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 3, because he's speaking out of, Lamentations chapter 3, right?
Yeah.
He's speaking out of his own experience here. And you'd like to begin in verse
21.
21. But would you read down through verse 26?
Yes.
Because if not, I'll be sad. I love that promise. Start in verse 21. So what we're saying here is that he has experienced the faithfulness of God.
Yeah. And just to lay some more context, before this is lamenting about the situation, and then he draws a contrast in verse 21 and says, "But this I recall to my mind," and this is from the New King James Version. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope."
Yes.
"Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Amen. Mm. So back to what Jamie had read, taste and see.
That's right.
Taste and see. And Stephanie, small step. You want to build on that?
Right. And something that else that comes to my mind when Samiso was reading that is that those who wait on the Lord, those who come and feed on his word, that is, you see the promises of the Bible and you claim those. Lord, you can get me through this because your word says you will never leave me nor forsake me. You will provide a way of escape. I believe that. Do for me what I can't do for myself.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Nathan and Seth.
I'm thinking again of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. We don't have to turn there, but in verses 9 and 10, he says, my grace is sufficient for you.
When the Lord is speaking to him, right?
To Paul. And then he goes on to say, my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
So it's a day by day. As your need is for that day, God's grace is sufficient for you. And I mean, my wife and I have been going through quite a struggle for the last several months, and we just take it day by day. And amazingly, and people have even commented, I can't believe how much peace you have in your lives in the midst of this trial. And it's only because we can trust God day by day. Amen. To get us through.
Yeah. So my strength is made perfect. So when the enemy comes and says, you're not that strong, you're like, I know, but let me tell you who's really strong. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I've learned from it. Yeah. My experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Seth?
Yeah, and speaking of peace, I'd like to read a text in the New Testament.
Okay. Where's it
John
found?
John chapter 14, verse 27.
All right. John, the Gospel of John,
14,
chapter 14 and verse 27.
Verse 27.
You know, back to this whole claiming the promises, Stephanie, Seth knows that word, right? So the Holy Spirit says, bring that into the discussion. Maybe a Hope Sabbath School member somewhere around the world needs to hear this. This is the word of Jesus, John 14:27.
Sure. So I'll read it from the New King James Version. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Mm. So I think we can have peace in spite of the circumstances
yes,
we find
absolutely.
Ourselves
in.
Let not your heart be troubled, neither yes. let it be afraid. And yet, in that same upper room discourse, he says, in this world you will have trial and tribulation, right?
Yeah,
but remember what it says next?
Be of good cheer.
Why?
I have overcome the world.
So
Amen.
That experiential knowledge of God, right, and his faithfulness is so crucially important. Well, we're going to move on and talk about one of the challenges that Jeremiah faced, and I want to think about what it means for us today, was people claiming to be prophets of God who actually weren't. Nathan?
Can I quickly say something before you move on?
Sure.
I'm just amazed at the grace of God, what we looked at here in chapter 27, where God tells Jeremiah, make these yokes and then take them to the kings of Tyre and Sidon and Ammon and, you know, the east of these were usually allies rather than enemies with Israel. They were trading with them. But for Jeremiah to have the courage to go to these nations and say, you're going to be servants to the king of Babylon. Why did God even care to tell those nations? But the grace of God says, you know, he says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. But he's not even just telling his people. He actually cares enough about those people to say, you know, this your world's going to turn upside down here, but God is on the throne, and it's happening because I want Babylon to be ruling, Nebuchadnezzar to be ruling. So I just see God caring even about those nations to send his prophet outside of Israel and give the message
Amen.
To them.
Because they are all God's children, right?
Yes.
They're all precious to him. Jeremiah 28. Cabrina, I'm going to ask you if you would start in Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 1 through 4. And here he's contending with false prophets, a man named Hananiah. Sounds like he should be a really good fellow. I mean, his name means Yahweh is gracious, but it's not all the way it appears.
I'm reading from the New International Version. In the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year, earlier in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hanani, son of Eschar, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Well, now that sounds great, and everybody wants to say
amen.
Amen. Amen, right? What's the problem, Tyler?
That's true. Problem is that he's removing it from him, I would say.
What's the problem, Marcus?
It's contradictory to what we just read in Jeremiah 27. Right.
That's the right. Problem is, it's not true.
It's not true.
Now, how do people know that it's not true? Well, let's see what Scripture says, Nathan. Read verses 5 through 9.
That's right.
Jeremiah, he says, well, let's apply a test here. Because right now, there's two people claiming to be a prophet, and you're absolutely right, Marcus. Contradictory prophecies. How does the scripture read in Jeremiah 28, verses 5 through 9?
All right, this is the New King James Version. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent.
So what's the test? What does Jeremiah say?
Does it come to pass?
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens, Ulrich. Yeah. That's right. You know, we call that the time test.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, you're claiming this. He said, boy, that would be wonderful. But will it come to pass or not? Mm-hmm. Then we'll know if it's true. Let's see how Hananiah responds. Missy, could you read verses 10 and 11? How does Hananiah respond to this word of Jeremiah?
New King James Version reads, then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way.
Now, what are you going to do now if you're Jeremiah?
Wait.
What are you going to do? You've got a prophet. Is he a true prophet?
No.
Hananiah?
No.
No. Is his prophecy true?
No.
No. What would you do if you're Jeremiah at this point?
Wait patiently.
Wait patiently for
the Lord. For God.
For God's
yeah. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Yeah. In other words, you're saying, God, you're going to have to deal with this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to arm wrestle with this man.
Right. That's right.
I think that's beautiful. I think that we might feel compelled to fight.
To argue, to dispute.
Mm-hmm. But here, Jeremiah, he goes his way. And we know the next verse, the Lord does speak to him and give him instruction, but it wasn't his fight, and he knew that.
Trisha Lee, would you read the verse that follows, verses 12 through 16?
Yes.
Because you're right, it's not his battle. This is the Lord's battle.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And how does the Lord respond to this false prophecy?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. Mm-hmm. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord.
Wow, that was a strong testimony. Wow. And you say, well, okay, how do we know his prophecy was true? What does it say, Seth, in verse 17? How do we know that the prophecy that Jeremiah's just given is true and that Hananiah is actually going to die?
Verse 17 of 28.
Yes, verse 17.
It says, so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month.
Okay. Now, we could just say, well, it serves him right. But even in that, what message is God conveying to the people?
Listen to my prophet Jeremiah.
Listen to my prophet Jeremiah, and the other things that he's prophesying will also be fulfilled. Missy? Yeah.
This just reminds me that this side of heaven, we are going to be having to deal with the tares that we grew up with. If you know the prophecy or the story of the wheat and the tares, we have to deal with this problem where the good and those who pretend to be good are going to be living side by side. And God has to give us strength and patience in dealing with these
situations. Well, let's go to that story. Just think about it for a moment, because the Lord says, don't pull them up right now because they look the same, right?
Yes.
What do you have to do?
Wait. Let them grow.
It's that time test too, isn't it?
Exactly.
For the harvest.
Yes.
Wait, right? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately there's another test that the Lord gave about whether a prophet's true or not, besides if the prophecy comes to pass. What's the other?
By their fruits ye
yes,
shall know
right,
them.
Yes, that's right, Ulrich.
Matthew 7.
Matthew 7. By their fruits
ye shall know them.
You shall know them. So at first I may not be able to tell, right? Mm-hmm. Now I want to hyperspace forward from false prophet in Jeremiah's day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't his battle, Jeremiah's battle to fight, right? It's the Lord's
right.
battle.
Right.
To today. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Are we facing impending destruction?
Yes.
Well, certainly we know that the day is coming when the elements will melt with fervent heat. The Lord is coming again, right?
Yes.
So there is going to be a judgment on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's false prophets wandering around saying peace and safety. Mm. By the way, Jesus prophesied that too, right?
Yes.
So how do we expose the lies of false prophets? Or is that not our job? What do you think?
I think thinking about what's coming in the future, there might not be time to wait and see what fruit grows from someone. But we do know in Isaiah 8:20, if they don't speak according to the word, it's because there's no light in them. And I think that God has given us the Holy Bible. And I think that even before we see what grows, if we are grounded in truth in the word of God, that can at least give us an inclination. Something doesn't quite sound right. Something contradictory is being said here. And that should raise a question in us that maybe this really isn't what's right. Let me go back to the word of God and see if what this person is saying is true.
Want to come back again to my question, then I'll come to your comment. Is it our job to expose the false lies or the lies of the false prophets? You say, I think that's a loaded question. Nathan, well, what would you say?
I'm just thinking of the situation there with Hananiah, who's prophesying this. Yes. What did Jeremiah do? He prophesied the word. He said, that would be great, but here's what the word of the Lord is. That's and I think our job is not to, like you said, arm wrestle with this person, but we just keep speaking the word of the Lord. So now the people had both. They had Jeremiah's word, they had Hananiah's word, and they could assess them based on what would happen. But if they wanted to know the truth, what is God's promise? If you seek me, search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. Right. So they had to have both. So I think our position now is to say, we need to present the word of the Lord, because there's a lot of messages out there in the world today. Mm-hmm. We need to give them at least the option of knowing, here's what God's word says, and then they can consider.
And if we are not called to be a prophet or a prophetess receiving direct revelation from God, we still have this revelation.
God's word. Yes.
So we don't have, first of all, it's not our battle, it's God's battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not that smart, right?
Or strong.
Or strong, right. But so we can say, Lord, what word do you have for this prophet who's saying something that isn't true? And how is God going to bring that word to us?
We have to be remembering what we've learned.
Exactly. Unless we are called to be a prophetess or a prophet, he's going to bring to our remembrance mm-hmm. what we've been studying, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And say, this is the word I want you to share. Ulrich?
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful things we need to see what happened in the days of Jeremiah and these days as well is that because the people were so steeped in the apostasy, that you find that there was a readiness to reject what Jeremiah was saying because it cut across their own pleasures and likes, and it made it easier for them to accept what Hananiah was saying because mm-hmm. what he was saying is what they wanted to hear, mm-hmm. but Jeremiah was trying to tell them what they needed to hear. So I think one of the things we need to see here, because wickedness and love of pleasure will abound in the last days, just as in ancient Israel. You find, as 2 Thessalonians says, they did not accept the love of the truth because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. We will find the same scenario, that our message will seem offensive to people because they will be steeped in the love of the things of this world. So we need that holy boldness from the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to speak this word.
And how do we know? This is important. How do we know which word of the Lord to speak? Because it didn't come in a dream or a vision like to Jeremiah, right? There's a lot of things mm-hmm. we could share here, right? Yeah. How do we know what word the Lord wants us to share?
John 14:27, I think mm-hmm. Seth shared it earlier. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance because you've put it in there.
Okay, 14:26, it's right before the peace I leave with you, right? Right? So you would say part of the reason that we study Scripture on a daily basis
yes.
is that it's not just so we can win a Bible quiz, right?
Correct.
That, it's not about that, is it? Or impress people.
No.
Because there were people even in Christ's day who knew Scripture,
right. yes.
but they didn't follow it.
Yes.
But it's so that the Holy Spirit can enable us to be women of God, men of God, sharing the Word of God.
Yes, indeed.
Which, that it's the Word that exposes the lie, right? We yeah. are not the yes. people to do that. Marcus.
And what's happening today is that there are many different gospels, and even Jesus had prophesied this in his day, that there would be many different gospels, but the true gospel is the one that finishes the work. Mm. Mainly, mm. that's the main difference mm. between other gospels and the one that we know to be true, is that one finishes the work.
And it also is based on the word, right? Right. Missy? Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that they are leaving the church because I was offended by this person or this other individual hurt me. It's so important for us not to fix our gaze on people because people are fallible and make mistakes. We have to keep our eyes focused on God and on His Word, which is the sure path and guide.
And by the way, if you have a pastor that feels uncomfortable with you checking up on her or checking up on him with the word, you probably should find another church, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
It should be a compliment, right, if you share the word
yes.
that the person goes back and says,
yes.
yeah. wait, yeah, that's what it says. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I listened to a sermon which actually pretty much connected a scripture song and the context under what was going on in that time. So many people quote this text, "I know the plans I have for you, plans of prosperity." But this is actually a letter in response to this situation. They're still in Babylon, but God is saying, "I know the plans I have
yes.
for you."
Yes.
Your situation has not changed, but still in Babylon, God is saying, "I know the plans I have for you." It's not going to be 2 years that you're going to be delivered. Actually, plant vineyards, have children. Mm-hmm. Your situation is not going to change, but I know the plans I have for you. So trust in God.
Amen.
In spite
so,
of the
so here's this lesson. You're going to have to be the sacrifice you're going to have to make. Maybe you won't mm-hmm. be asked to stay single your whole life or to marry a wayward person like Jeremiah or Hosea, but we all have our cross we bear, right?
Yes, yes.
That assignment from God, which may involve sacrifice, doesn't it say deny yourself?
That's right.
Take up your cross. We're all going to have the sacrifice, and we're all going to have to contend with false teachers mm-hmm. and false prophets. Mm-hmm. What is the most important takeaway lesson you have from our study today? Stephanie, you say, this is something I want to take with me.
that only God can be trusted. Our eyes must be fixed on Him, and we need to be so in tune to Him that we know what He wants us to do.
All right, Eric, you want to build on that? Jesus, only God can be trusted.
In addition to what you said, just allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to give you the strength to trust in God, because you're going to face so many lies. They're going to face people who will try to mislead you. But if you trust God to guide you, to show you the right way.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Yes. I love that promise of Jesus. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come,
He will guide
you. Guide you.
He'll guide you into all truth. All right.
One of the powerful things I see here is that, you know, we ought to just lay hold of God, because when He called us to His purpose, like Nathan said earlier, you know, when He calls us to discipleship, it comes at a cost. He calls you to die. It may not be literally, but it may be dying to your own self-interest. And I just want to let individuals know that keep your grasp on the Lord as firm as possible and your faith in Him, that come what may, whatever His purpose for you, His grace is sufficient and His strength will be provided to you to guide you.
And I had the image, while you're holding on to Him, underneath you are the everlasting arms, right, yes. Trisha Lee?
What we experience in our lives today is nothing new. These things have been happening since sin entered the world, but every step of the way, every trial and temptation, God has been there delivering His people, those who trust in Him. Yeah. And we don't have to feel like what's coming in the future and are in our lives today is something that God has no control over. He's never seen it or never handled it before. Nothing new under the sun. God is still deliverer. He can still keep us to deliver His word and protect us from those that would want to harm us. This story of Jeremiah just gives me hope.
Yes, indeed.
You know, someone told me God has no obstacles, only opportunities. So whatever you're facing, God says, we can handle this. But I have to choose to hold on to Him, right? I have to choose to allow His strength to be made perfect even in my weakness. I have to know that He has a good plan to give me a future and a hope. And as Christians, 600 years after Jeremiah, Jesus comes and shares the full revelation of God's plan, we know that Jesus is coming back soon. We want to be ready, don't we? Amen. But until then, lies may abound. Hold on to the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Hold on to God, your deliverer. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful, relevant lesson for our lives today. We may be asked to sacrifice. We may have to contend with lies and false teachers, but You are our rock and our salvation, and Your word is our lamp and our light. We just want to say thank You. May we not only hear it, but live it, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Lessons from the past to change our lives today and be a blessing for the future. It's my prayer that you would have that rock solid foundation in God. You would listen to His word, let Him fight the battle, but take the truth of His word, go out and share it with those around you. Be a blessing in the name of Jesus.